chance to get underneath your word. And God, we ask you to let your rain fall upon us. God, may the power of your word, not just the words of your words or the thoughts of your words or the discussion of your words or my opinion of your word, but may it be your word that falls upon us like rain, God. Sprinkle down on us the things that we don't understand and saturate and soak us, God, in the power of your spirit, not just to have understanding of your word, but that we would be washed in the water of your word supernaturally, that our sins, God, which are many, they wouldn't even stick to our heart anymore, knowing that they've been forgiven, that our day, which was busy, and for some of us, it was kind of yucky. God, you would just wash us clean again in your word. Give us answers to the things that we're asking, God, because we believe, I believe wholeheartedly, your word has all the answers. I really do. Teach us to know your word as you continue to do this good work in our lives, that not only would we know your word, but that we would allow your word to know us. Speak. Your church wants to hear what the angel has to say to the church. Amen. Okay, 1 Chronicles. Starting a new book. However, it's not a new book. It's kind of an old book. Reason being is 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, which used to be in some old manuscripts before the King James Bible in the 1,000 years after the church, was one book. And it was called the Chronicles because it was almost a supplement to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. You with me? 1 Chronicles covers, and I wrote down a bunch of notes because these things I had to write down, I would never remember them. It covers the years of Saul to the exile. Now, if you guys remember, does anybody remember what the exile was? The exile when the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah went into exile. They were taken over by Assyria and the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Listen to me, guys. Most of the Bible study today is a Bible study for eggheads. You got to really be into the Bible without trying to fall asleep here. But because we're starting this book and because there's like real important information here that's going to mean a lot, I want you to understand that I'm giving you the caveat right now. Today's going to be more like a college class than it is like some entertaining Bible study. But for you guys that are really into Scripture, cool stuff's going to, you're going to hear some really cool stuff today. Okay, so first going over, pull that up real quick. You guys are going to see a little glimpse of some of the ways that I study. Okay, I'm going to give you a little bit of information about the way I study. I get all the information I can. I compile it. Could you put that up, please? Okay. This is going to explain to you guys the little details of the book informationally of what exactly the book is. To understand... The book is Dibhirei HaYamim. That's the word for Chronicles. The word concerning the days, otherwise known as a chronicle. In the Septuagint, which was the original, translation, not the original text, but the original translation. When they translated the Bible from Hebrew, the Old Testament from Hebrew to Latin, it was called Paraleptipomi. What does that mean? It means supplements to 1 and 2 Kings. In the Latin Vulgate, it's Chronicon. 1 and 2 Kings is a political record. 1 and 2 Chronicles is a religious record of the same book. You'll see why. Continue. Next. You know what? I'm bored already. Turn the light back on. Okay. It's, like I said, it's more of a recap of Judah's kingdom, the northern kingdom. This isn't so much the southern kingdom. It's more of a recap of what went on in Judah. There were 19 kings in the northern kingdom that covered 250 years. There were seven dynasties. 19 kings covering 230 years, seven dynasties. That was the northern kingdom, otherwise known as the kingdom of Israel. You guys remember that, right? complete waste of time. They murder, they pillage, they destroyed each other. Again, seven dynasties, seven different bloodlines were followed through these 250 years. But now you go to the southern kingdom, which is Judah, which is the promised line of Messiah. That is what we're going to chronicle. Everything that you read about in the Old Testament is all a thread designed for one thing, to point to Messiah. That's why you're going to see all through Old Testament, beginning in the New Testament, the enemy, the devil himself, has tried to break the line. Because in Genesis chapter 3, called the Proto-Evangelium, it was predicted that one would come from the line of the woman who would rescue mankind. Genesis chapter 3, he shall crush your head, you shall bruise his heel, so forth and so on. You guys remember that. The southern kingdom had 20 kings covering 370 years. They lasted a little longer in the northern kingdom, but there was only one dynasty. Does anybody remember whose dynasty that was? Nope. David's dynasty. Babylon is who took them. Don't be embarrassed. You're allowed to be wrong sometimes. The Babylonian dynasty is who took them into captivity. It was David's bloodline. David, remember, all through Scripture, it was going to be the line of the tribe of David, right? Judah, David. You see it? Good, you guys are bored already. I can see it. Who's the oldest man in the Bible? Who said Methuselah? Okay. How did Methuselah then die before his father? If Methuselah is the oldest man in the Bible, he lived 970 years, then how is he the oldest man? How is it that he died before his father? Anybody? Because his father was Enoch and he was translated, he was raptured. Now some of you guys are like, I don't even care what you're talking about. Stay with me. Stay with me. It's going to make sense. The word Methuselah means muth, the first part of it, meaning death. Shalak shall bring. There was a prophecy according to Genesis 4 or 5 that said that Methuselah's death would bring the end times in. So when Methuselah was born, he was literally named, his death shall bring. Every time the guy got a cold, the whole neighborhood freaked out, right? Now, does anybody know what year Methuselah died in? The same year as the flood, which ended the world as they knew it. Now, why am I telling you these things? It's extremely important. We're going to put it all together. Go to, you know what? Read with me. Verse 1. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, or Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshach, Tiras. The son of Gomer was Ashkenaz, Diphthah, Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Shemeshah, Kittim, Rodanim. Listen to me. There will be 9 chapters of this, of which starting next week, we're going to cover them extremely quickly. However, what I'm trying to explain to you guys is something extremely important. The 9 chapters that have all of these things chronicled, every name, and this one begat that one, and that one came from that one, and this one did this. What does all this mean? It is a perfect chronicle that the line of Messiah is kept, and it's perfect. Now, all these things you're going to see, not in such great details tonight. However, everybody always asks, are there hidden things in the Bible? Do we know all there is to know? Watch what I'm about to show you now, and why I just set this whole thing up. Please turn that on, and I'll tell you where to stop. Keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. So now when you guys wonder how I know so much when I get up here, this is the stuff I study every single service. This is the stuff I'm going through. I'm going through this information. I'm not going through teachings of what should I say. I want all the information up here, and God will regurgitate out what he wants to do with it. You understand what I'm saying? Continuing. Continue. Go. 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 That's what we just read, right? Next. 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 Stop. Okay. Now, what I just read to you, for you guys that are new to Scripture, is what is called a genealogy. Now, genealogies are a little confusing at first when you understand that even within the Bible, names have different pronunciations and different spellings, and sometimes people have different names. Now, the parallel of this exact genealogy is in Genesis chapter 5. Now, Genesis chapter 5 was written some 3,000 to 5,000 years before Christ. It was written, this genealogy, recorded by Jewish scholars. There was no such thing as a Christian back then. The only thing that they had was faith in the moon, the stars, and the sun, the earth, the ground. They worshiped. They worshiped what they didn't understand. And they kept records of the people that were alive so that we could see. Watch. Next. 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 Okay. Adam is the first name in this genealogy, right? The word Adam means man. Man. Adam. So you know, Adam means man. Not difficult so far, right? Next. Seth means appointed. Now, we know it means appointed not just to us. We didn't make up the translation, because even in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, Eve, when Abel was killed by Cain, she named her new son, the third son, Seth. God hath appointed me a new man. Are you with me? So, man appointed. Next. Enosh means mortal, frail, or miserable. It's from the root word enosh, to be incurably used of a wound, grief, woe, sickness. So now, it's a very specific sickness, means death is sure to come. When death is sentenced, done. You with me still? You bored yet? Good. Next. Kenan. Now, some people pronounce it Canaan. This is not Canaan. This is Kenan, which means sorrow, a dirge, or elegy, meaning a sorrowful cry, a weep. The visual is this. It's a crying. Next. Next. Still next. Mahalel. It is a two-name word. This is a compound word. Maha means blessed or praise. El, if you guys know El Shaddai, El Elyon, El, means God. So this is a compound word. Mahalel means the blessed God. You with me still? Next. Yared is how it's pronounced in the Hebrew. It's from the verb yarada, meaning shall come down. Now, you guys that are remembering these things, all of a sudden you're starting to see something. You're like, wait a second. I'm seeing something here. Next. Enoch, which means commencement or teaching. Commencement, to begin, will happen. Continuing. Now, these are a couple of prophecies about Enoch in Scripture. The book of Jude said Enoch. Also, the seventh from Adam, which proves also 2,000 years later, saying, listen, he was the seventh son from Adam, which is exactly where we are. Therefore, Scripture, confirming Scripture, prophesied these things. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all the What is even back in the days of Enoch, the second coming of Christ was predicted. Next. Enoch's prophecy. We know the Lord's coming is sure. We know who will accompany the Lord. We know the purpose of his coming. And we know the result of his coming. Next. Next. keep going. Now, this is when we're talking about Enoch a little bit. For you guys that don't know, there's two people in the Bible that never died. Anybody remember who they are? Tom? Elijah and Enoch never died. They were translated. Elijah, if you remember, he was taken up in the chariot of fire when Elisha, we just studied this just a few months ago, give me a double portion of your spirit. Does anybody remember what Elijah gave him? His robe, right, his cloak. All right. It was said about Enoch that he walked with God and was taken up, translated. The first picture of the rapture of the church in the Bible. Next. Methuselah. What did we just talk about with Methuselah? Oldest living person, his death shall bring. It was known in Scripture. Muth, the root that means death. Shalach, which means to bring or to send forth. His death shall bring. Next. Lamech. It's a word we still use today. Lament, to mourn, to weep, to despair. You guys see it? We still use a portion of that word today. Go ahead. Noah, which is derived from Naham, to bring relief or comfort, rest. Noah. Next. Putting them all together. Here we go. Is there hidden messages in the Bible? Let's see. Man is appointed mortal sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching. His death shall bring the despairing comfort and rest. You kidding me? You're going to tell me a bunch of Hebrew writers came up with this, right? And they hid the New Testament in the Old Testament just so we could see it? Come on. Is this an accident? Now, I want you to know there are some higher criticisms that say this word doesn't mean that or that word doesn't mean this. Listen to me. You can do that for days. But if the key fits in the door, why not use it? What this is supposed to do is strengthen your understanding that the Old Testament is in every way just as perfect as the New. The Scripture as we have it is so amazing. It is so perfect. Now, what you can do is look for more of these, or you can do like I did and just steal them from Chuck Missler. Because if you look up the names and the root meanings of all the names, like I said, the next 9 chapters, we're going to see 9 chapters of genealogy. Now, if I just didn't tell you these things and I just started reading these names, you'd be like, oh my goodness, is he going to teach a Bible study today or is he just going to read these names that he obviously can't pronounce himself? But I want you to see that every once in a while, God gives a man wisdom. And here we are, the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, the genealogy of exactly what we're looking for, just in the names. There's the plan of God. Is it not? And is it not amazing? Are you not blown away by this? You can turn that off. Verse 8. The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Reama, and Sabteca. The sons of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. Now, another way to look at this scripture is to say, listen, if you're new to scripture right now, justifiably, you're bored. If you're new to scripture, justifiably, you're like, entertain me. Listen to me. These names should mean something to you. Because in a deeper study of understanding these things, if you've ever read through the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, these names that I'm reading, oh, I remember that guy. Oh, I remember that guy. What is so important about Nimrod? Now, Nimrod's not just a stupid name you call somebody. Nimrod, guys, was the first Antichrist. At the Tower of Babel, he's the first world dictator. He's the first world leader that looked up to God and said, I will defy you, and I will build a tower that'll be greater than you, so everybody will worship me. Nimrod is literally the first Antichrist. And in the coming days, you're going to see how what he did and how he was very much possessed by the devil himself, is going to mirror image the coming one, otherwise known as Antichrist, the prodigal. Not the prodigal, the, what's another name for the Antichrist? What did you say? No, the beast, the prophet. No, not the beast. What's another name for the Antichrist? Nope, that's another one too. Those three look together. I'll remember and I'll tell you later. I'll send you a piece of paper or something. Now, you could look at that again. You look up the Tower of Babel and you can see that stuff for yourself. Verse 11. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehabim, Naphtuhim, Pathrasim, Kazulim, who came the Philistines, and the Kaphatim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Zemarite, and the Hathathite. Listen, if you were to do a study in these things, say you pick up a Chuck Missler or a Warren Wiersbe, they can explain to you, if you're into even greater detail than I'm doing now, how each one of these men represents a different nation that you are now seeing in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia, the Arab, all these different nations are represented here, and they could show you the path of how they went here and how they went there according to Scripture. So we're not just reading, he said, she said, we're not just trying to follow a thread. I'm telling you, there's so much more here than we want to know. I just wanted to tease you a little bit with that. You understand me? Continuing. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, Aram, Uz, Hul, Gether, and Meshach. Arphaxad begot Shelah, Shelah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg. For in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Now when they say the earth was divided, there's two schools of thoughts there. One think that that was the great continental divide when the continents split. Some think it was when they scattered the languages from the Tower of Babel. Now, why is that important? Guys, don't you understand that chronically speaking, the Bible is perfect? There is no reason to doubt even one page of the Old Testament. It is perfect. And it is laid out in such a way that those who want to study will see chronologically all these things that the Bible says have come to pass exactly. However, Joktan begot Almadad, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reuel, Sureg, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, who is Abraham. The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. Whew. Brings us to the first part of our study. Nothing that we've read now is more important than what we just read. What we just read was that the thread that is perfectly chronicled leads to a man named Terah. Terah had a son, Abraham, otherwise known as Abram. And then when God spoke to him, when God filled him, he was filled with the breath of God, and he became Abraham. Abram became Abraham with the breath of God breathed into him. Abraham is mentioned 74 times in the New Testament. He's what's called the father of the faithful. He is called the friend of God. Very important to the Jews, the Muslims, and of course the Christians. Ishmael and Jacob also both had 12 sons. Super important. First part of the message is this. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel, right? Abraham, in a rush for things that he was waiting on to happen, rushed ahead of God and made another son with Hagar named Ishmael. Ishmael also had 12 sons. Some say it was the Arabs. That is an incorrect application of that. He were not. But Ishmael's sons have always been against God, always been against his brothers. Now, why is this important for me? Guys, listen to what I tell you here. Message. Let's just, for a second, let's look for an application here. Whatever God has done, the enemy has tried to copy. Whatever you're praying for, whatever you're searching for, be sure of it, the enemy is going to bring the counterfeit. Do you understand me? If you're a single sister here, especially if you're a single mom here, and you're waiting for God to deliver, man, if God would only listen to me, beware of the counterfeit. Because just as everything that God did in Scripture, the enemy counterfeit. Just before we were talking about the end times, we were talking about the Antichrist. God is a triune God. We've been looking at that a little bit too. The Father, the Son, the Spirit. Well, in the last of the last days, it's going to be our Savior coming back to fight against the Antichrist, the false prophet, and the beast, which is the devil himself. Everything that God does, the enemy counterfeits. And I'm giving you forewarning. The Bible says that the enemy of your soul, the devil, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You must be vigilant and on watch. You guys have heard me say, when it comes to my children, if they need an answer now, the answer is no. If you're being pushed into a relationship, if you're being pushed into a job, if you're being pushed into medical treatment, if you are being pushed into something that you're not sure of, patience forces the devil to reveal his hand. Do you hear me? Patience forces the devil to reveal his hand. If you don't have time to pray, the answer should be no. If anybody says to you, I need an answer now, say no. Are you with me? Because, and just like Ishmael, he was a type of, in Scripture, a work of the flesh. For you guys that don't know the story, look back to the book of Genesis. There he is. Abraham marries a woman named Sarai. Does anybody remember what was really weird about Sarai? She was Abram's half-sister. So you guys remember that Abraham later on gets in trouble for telling one of the kings, yeah, that's not my wife, it's my sister. He was only half lying. But he was still lying. He marries Sarai, who becomes Sarah. God shows up in the form of a prophet, in the form of an angel at the door and says, you will have a son from Sarah. Remember this? And she laughs and she says, what are you talking about? I'm 90 years old. What are you going to wait for me? I'm long. There ain't no baby machine clothes type of thing. You know what I mean? And you remember what the angel looked at him and said to him? Is anything too hard for God? I want to ask you here. What is it that you're waiting for God to do? If your dream has died, please remember that God is the God of birth, the God of death, and the God of resurrection. Allow him the time to resurrect your dream. Don't fall for the counterfeit like so many have before us, like we have so many times. And why did I marry that? Why did I take that job? Why did I do? Fell for the counterfeit. And he hasn't stopped. It's the same situation. So Sarah, on her way to getting pregnant, she says to Abraham, if you guys that don't know the story, listen, obviously God messed up. Obviously he needs our help. Take Hagar, my maidservant. Now, I don't know how old Abraham was at the time. Some say he was in his 70s. Take my little 20-year-old Egyptian maidservant to be your wife and have a baby with her. I'm sure Abraham was like, no, that's not going to happen. However, no, that did not happen. So he takes her and he has a baby and he's Ishmael, right? And God rebukes him and says, why did you listen to that woman? Right? Now, later on, Sarah comes back and says, I want you to get rid of that kid. I want you to get rid of that servant. Get rid of him. And he won't do it. And God rebukes him again and says, how come you're not listening to the woman? And Abraham then feels everything that we as men married to a woman feel. Wait a second. I listen to her when I shouldn't, and I shouldn't when I do. She tells me, go into Hagar, my wife. Okay, no problem. Then she says, get rid of them. One I do and I shouldn't have done, the other one I don't do and I should have done. You guys that aren't married here right now, young single, especially you, about to be there, listen up, dude. And you guys that are here and you're just dating, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's a blessed thing to be married to a woman. Better than being alone. I'm just looking for where I am. Don't put nothing in that. Does anybody know where I am quickly? My wife's not here, right? Oh, my daughters are going to tell her. Okay. 26 it was. Thank you. 29. These are their genealogies. The firstborn of Ishmael was Nebajoth, then Keter, Abdiel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tema, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. These are the sons of Ishmael. Now the sons born to Keturah, Abraham's concubine. Now, wait a second. You just said Abraham was married to Sarah. Sarah passes away. And he then marries another girl. After Hagar leaves, she goes and starts her family. And then his wife Sarah dies. He then takes Keturah. Abraham was Kimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shauah. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham begot Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. Remember these two twin brothers? When did they? Sarah did. Isaac. Isaac died. Right. Well, Abraham and Isaac. Right. Sarah dies later on. Man, this guy had it going on for a long time. He was walking in faith. So now the story that continues with the first Jew, the first Israelite, the first Hebrew, Abraham, now gets underway genealogically speaking. You've got Esau and Jacob. Jacob means heel catcher, supplanter, grabber. Esau means red and hairy. From literally in the womb, these two were fighting. And when you look at their genealogies, if you follow them down to this day, the nation of Israel is still fighting with the nation. Now, for you guys that don't know, Jacob later on becomes Israel. God changes his name to Israel. Israel is still fighting with the descendants of Esau now. Esau was a man of the earth, they said. He was a hunter. He didn't really care about anything. Amazing, amazing story in the book of Genesis about how his brother stole his birthright for a pot of stew. How many of you guys remember that story from your days either following with us or when you were in? I think about it, and these are the things that, listen to me, this should fill you with a hunger. You guys that don't know scripture right now, you should be hungry. Man, why don't I know that story? It is so amazing how Jacob, his mom, fixed it. She got a piece of fur and she put it on his arm. And then when his father was going to bless him, he was supposed to put the blessing on the firstborn, which was Esau. But instead, he goes, oh no, this is me. I'm Esau. And he touches it and he said, you don't feel like you, but okay, maybe you. And he puts a blessing on him. And to see this, and how these guys fight with each other. And Esau goes one way. And you guys, were you here when we went over the story when Jacob slept that night and wrestled with the angel? You guys ever heard Jacob wrestle the angel? You guys are into YouTube, Jacob wrestled the angel and the angel was overcome? Ah, great stories, man. Got it. You got to get excited about this stuff. Where am I? 35, man. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. The sons of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, he was Hispanic, Zephi, Gatam, and Kenaz. By Timnah, Amalek, the sons of Reuel were Nathan, Nahath, Zerah, Shema, and Miza. The sons of Seir were Lotan. Listen, for you guys that are judging me right now because I can't pronounce these names, I want you to go home, I want you to look in the mirror, and I want you to pronounce them yourself, and then come back and apologize next week. The sons of Seir were Lotan, and I've been reading this for the last 2 weeks. I'm telling you, guys are getting the best of it. The first way through, it was really worse. Shobal, Zibeon, Ana, Dishan. Dishan, look at that, Mark. Did you see that? Dishan. Ezer and Dishan, his other brother. See, that's the African-American beginning. The sons of Lotan were Horai and Homam. Lotan's sister was Timnah. The sons of Shobal were Alian, Mehahath, Ebal, Shifi, Onam. The sons of Zibeon were Ahaz, Ana. The sons of Ana were Dishan. The sons of Dishan, they liked the name, so they did it again, were Hamran, Ishban, Ithran, Sharan. The sons of Ezer were Bilhan, Zeavan, Joktan. The sons of Dishan were Uz and Aaron. Now, I want you to see, this takes a turn, and is where I'm going to finish up what we're reading, but then I'm going to come back, and we're going to do the latter part of the message of the application that we can get out of this. Now, watch this. Now, these are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before a king reigned over the children of Israel. Now, so what he says here, kings were crowned before Israel wanted a crown. So the things we're about to read now are the very reason why, if you were with us at 1 Samuel, why the nation of Israel went to God and said, we don't want God to govern us anymore. We want a king. And God said, listen, he told Samuel, you tell them if they get a king, he's going to take their sons and daughters. He's going to take their money. He's going to take the best of their crop. You don't want a king. I'll take care of you. I will watch over you. You don't need a king. And they said, no, we want a king just like those other nations. What nations? Here's the nations. Bela, the son of Beor, and the name of his city was Dinahab. And when Bela died, Jobab, the son of Zerah of Bozrah, reigned in his place. When Jobab died, Husham of the land of the Temanites reigned in his place. And when Husham died, Hadad, the son of Bedad, who attacked Midian in the field of Moab, reigned in his place. The name of his city was Avith. When Hadad died, Samla of Masrekah reigned in his place. And when Samla died, Saul of Rehoboth by the river reigned in his place. When Saul died, that is not the Saul that we study, guys. Baal-Hanan, the son of Achbor, reigned in his place. And when Baal-Hanan died, Hadad reigned in his place. And the name of the city was Pi. His wife's name was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred, the daughter of Mezhabida. I'm done with these names, guys. I'm fried. I got to be honest with you. Hadad died also, and the chiefs of Edom were Chief Timnah, Chief Allah, Chief Jetheth, Chief Aholibama. Yeah, that's the best name right there. I've been waiting the whole Bible study to say that name, Aholibama. Chief Aholibama. If you have a King James Bible, it says Duke. Duke and Chief, the same thing. Ryan, nice to meet you. Duke Aholibama. Aholibama. Not Obama, guys. Aholibama. Come on. Chief Elah, Chief Pinnon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Teman, Chief Mibzar, Chief Magdiel, and Chief Iram. These were the chiefs of Edom. Whew. Okay. Now, I want you to see something that happened, and I want you to give you a little insight into human nature and why you can't let this happen to ourselves. We're going to run through. Next week, we're probably going to cover 5 chapters, and we're going to stop at specific things. I'm not going to read everything to you. Again, I wanted to set this up so that you see that when you're reading Scripture and you're asking yourself, why am I reading this? I don't understand it. Understand a few things about that. First of all, it's the Word of God you're reading. The Word of God does not contain truth. The Word of God is truth. There's something extremely supernatural about just reading the Word of God, how it cleanses you, how it washes over you. And you only know that when you've done that. And what happens usually is you who come to church for a while, you make this commitment, you go, okay, I'm going to start reading the Bible, and you play Bible bingo, what we call Bible bingo. You open it up and you go, whoop, all right, I'm going to start reading the Bible. Today I'm going to read, these were the sons of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and like, oh my goodness. That's why I don't read the Bible, because I don't understand it. Yes, you're not supposed to read the Bible playing Bible bingo. The best thing to do is to get yourself involved in a real Bible study. As your pastor, I want to help you do that. I've helped dozens of people that go to our church now and have left our church do that. We read the Bible in a very specific pattern. We believe prescribed by God. Not that if you don't read it our way, that's not what I mean. I mean that it gives you the opportunity to allow God to show up in your life. Because too often you flip the Bible open, you read something, you go, oh my goodness, that's for me. And then the next day you open the Bible and you read it and it's not for you. You're like, man, when's God going to speak to me again? I remember that day. Now listen, it's not that God can't speak to you playing Bible bingo, but it is something so special when you're reading a psalm a day, a proverb a day, Old Testament, New Testament, and you go through something at night and you wake up in the morning and you go, oh my goodness, how did God know I was going to be right here? And you see that the sovereign hand of God, so wonderful, so powerful, so comforting, said, because I'm God and I knew everything you were going to do, and I set your whole life up so that my word can comfort you just when you needed it. Do you understand this? This is what's so important about reading Scripture. However, going back to the original thought, even when you're reading something as tedious as a genealogy, as 9 chapters of genealogy, I want you to understand that even though you might lose focus, even though you might not understand it, even though you feel like you're not getting anything because there's no name, it's like if you read all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose, you're like, yes, God, that's my word. That's what I needed. But you know what? You're not going to get to the dessert until you've eaten some broccoli. And it's an amazing thing when right smack dab in the middle, you're going to see a prayer of Jabez in the middle of these things. You're going to see so many amazing things in the middle of genealogy that you would have normally missed had you not been able to just let's focus. I just poured the word out over you guys. And most of it was like, oh my goodness, you're butchering the name. But it was the word of God. And you're washed in it now. And I'm bathed in it. And if you will just, maybe God wants to just teach you to focus. Listen, I've never read in my entire life before the Bible. The most I ever read was 1 or 2 chapters of a book. I'd never been a reader. My whole life I hated reading. If it was more than a 5 or 10 minute, I'm sorry, if it was more than a 5 or 10 line poem, I was done. I like reading poetry because I can get through it so easily and so fast. You understand? Become hungry for the Word of God, and you who never read will become readers. And now I truly understand what it said when man said when I was younger, readers are leaders. Ain't no joke. Maybe God wants to just teach us some discipline, and he wants you to read through 9 chapters of genealogy just so you could sit and focus and get your attention. I now can sit and read 3 or 4 chapters with good. Now, I will give you the secret. Here's my secret for reading the Bible, guys. I read out loud. That way it comes out of my mouth and into my ears. Because otherwise, if I'm reading in my head, especially genealogies, before long I'll be like, man, I've got Cinnamon Life in the cabinet. I think my wife bought that 2% milk, and I'm gonna cut up some bananas and Cinnamon Life. And wait a second, how did I? And all the while I'm still reading. Joe Badby got this. Joe Badby got this. Joe Badby got time with Cinnamon Life. And huh? That's right. That's excellent. Excellent application. Never thought of that. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, hearing the word of God. Even if you're hearing your own voice speak it, it helps you now concentrate on 2 different levels. However, what we just saw in Scripture, which you would miss and we wouldn't be able to decipher, is man had this crazy thing happen, guys. What we just saw is the beginning of what's called the conquest dynamic or the conquest epic. Man decided that God's provision was not enough. We just watched God provide for his people, like he feeds the birds, like he feeds the fish. And now man decided, it's not enough. I want to be king so I could take your stuff. I am now going to conquer. I'm going to name myself Duke, Chief, King. And I am going to conquer people. I'm going to conquer nations and take their stuff. This is the beginning. That's why the city on the shining city on a hill, the star of the entire world, was a nation called America, based upon the principles of God that said, you don't have to conquer anymore when you can, through means of, you guys have heard this, and I'm just in case there's even one person that hasn't, through means of creating a product that is valuable enough for somebody else to purchase, a system called capitalism. Now, don't get me wrong. I am very, very weary of our government, all government, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is. But there is still a heartland of America where you can go and through your hard work, succeed. This is the America that was created. This is why people from Brazil come here. This is why people from South America come here. This is why people come here from Africa still. This is why the Mexican Central American can't wait to get here. Because the things that you might see here on TV, especially you young kids that are learning in the universities today, how terrible our country is and how we've destroyed everything. I don't want to go through it all again tonight, but I want you to go home. If you've been poisoned with this doctrine that America is a bad place, I want you to go home, and I want you to, I don't know where they have it now. Maybe they got it on Netflix. There's a movie called America, Imagine a World Without Her. America, Imagine a World Without Her. You watch that movie and you hear the origin of all those, of where all this I hate America comes from. When a man places himself on a pedestal above another man, the first thing that starts to set in is what is called, it slipped my mind, it'll come back in a second, narcissism. Narcissism happens to men when they place themselves above others. Why I am so, look, I'm not saying that we throw people out. I'm certainly not saying that we would turn down if a lot of people came to church. But the reason we keep this church small, intentionally, not promoting ourselves. We don't have Facebook page. Our website is only designed for people who are involved in the church or want to follow a teaching. The reason we don't get flyers out there is because I've seen men of God whom I've respected, lots of them, not just, you know who I'm talking about, not just him, many men of God who get a lot of people telling them how great they are. And the first thing that happens to them is they become chiefs. I've watched men who were lowly and meek. When I got saved, I was a terrible worker. I only wanted to do what I wanted to do. I got fired from every single job that I ever had for either not getting along with my coworker or doing a job that wasn't appointed to me. Used to be right across the street here where there's now a, it's now a emergency clinic. Used to be a Scotty's. Is anybody here long enough to remember the Scotty's that was on the corner there? Remember Scotty's? Remember? I worked there. I worked there for a month and got fired. Got into a fight with somebody. You guys, if you guys remember on US 1, right on US 1 and 10th in that mall right there, there used to be a, what's that time? Olive Garden. I worked at that Olive Garden. Got fired after 3 months. I got into a fist fight with a waitress. Let me tell you what happened. It kept me meek and humble and low. I was a broken man by the time I came to the Lord. I said, God, I can't blame anybody else anymore. I'm tired of this. I did this junk in New York, and now I came here, and now I'm doing it here. I thought it was them. I'm ready, God. I'm ready for you to change my life. It's me. Would you do something with me? And you know what God said? Absolutely. And let me tell you what he did. He gave me diligence, he gave me strength, and he gave me focus. He made me a good worker. So with the help of my girlfriend, praise God, is now my wife, we started a business. And through hard work and diligence, investment of time and blood, God made me prosper. But let me tell you what happened after a few years. I was the boss. I had a bunch of people. And the same God that gave me the diligence and the strength to prosper when I was lowly and humble, when I was broken, now all of a sudden, you know what started to set in? Pride. Pride in such a way that now I was narcissistic in my tendencies. I could tell you what to do, but I wasn't going to do it. Even as a young Christian, I allowed these things to get into me. When God allows you to become something that you were not, don't ever forget that it's him that does the work. And I've watched great men of God after great woman of God beg God to do something in their lives. And then when God does it, they forget all about God. I've seen couples come to church for years and years and years, serving God faithfully, asking God for a baby for years. I'm talking 10, 12, 15 years, some of them barren. Then God blesses them and they have a baby. And they pour their lives into this child so much and they forget all about church and all about God. I've watched guys change men. I've watched men walk into church, drug addicts and pornoholics, and God changed their lives. And for 5, 6 years, they're loving God. And then God brings them a wife. No more. Don't ever forget that what you have achieved, what you have, what you have been blessed with is a gift from God. And just as he gave it, he sure can take it. Be thankful, be humble. Look at this. I mean, how silly is this? Chief Elah, Chief Pinnon, Chief Kenaz, Chief Team. Who named him chief? Your daddy didn't name you chief. Well, I'm chief because I'm chief. Me big chief. I'm Duke. Like, serious? Be careful. It's so much better to allow God to work in your heart every step along the way. At no point in time did you ever say, okay, God, I got it from here. So that's why one of the reasons we like nice and small. Don't tell me how great I am because I know you're lying. I have a wife at home, she tells me. Do the same. Allow yourself to stay humble. Allow yourself to serve in a small church. Allow yourself to do, listen, if you pour your life, if each one of you guys looks around the church and says, somebody here needs a brother, somebody here needs a sister. Now, sisters look at sisters, brothers look at brothers. They need somebody to encourage them every single day with a word. You know, Kirk, is he serving today, Daddy? Every single morning he sends me a verse. Every single morning he sends me a Bible verse. I bet there's a half a dozen, 10 of you guys he sends a verse through, doesn't he? Every morning I can count on that verse from him. And I don't want to get to, oh yeah, I know that verse. No, man, I stop myself from doing that and I go, thank you, Kirk. God bless Kirk. One person, just find one person to pour a little bit of your light and a little bit of your love in. Everybody needs somebody. And if you spend the rest of your days, and you could just say, man, I changed one person's life with encouragement, one person's, you think God's like, well, you only did one person? Come on. Allow yourself to be poured into, allow yourself to pour into others. Amen? Isn't that the coolest little thing with the genealogy? Isn't that great? You gotta love that stuff. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word, all of it. The whole dynamic of your word is amazing, God. And God, I do pray that you'd fill us with a hunger for your word and a thirst for your righteousness. And I pray, please, Lord Jesus, let us worship you in spirit and in truth. May we find ourselves in a place of complete surrender to whatever you want. God, may we stay humble.
May we not fall for the counterfeits of life. And may we still be in awe by your word and the power of your word. God, I pray for anybody that's here that has never experienced the full belief that your word is so amazing. God, that they might even have a Bible at home and they just don't make the time. They don't have the time to read it. God, it's for that person I pray today, that today there'd be some light that went off in their head that said, man, I got to start reading that thing. Fill us with a hunger to know your word, God, and to hear what your spirit would say to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen.